Insurgent Radio Network calling. Insurgent Radio Network calling. This is the Insurgent Radio Network with your host, Tom Metzger.
Yeah, you got that right. This is Terrible Tommy in the bunker right here in North Central Indiana on a beautiful day. The sun's out bright, clear sky, but it's pretty cool. It's about, what, in the 30s? Yeah, I think it's a little over 30, huh? It's not too warm. But it's warm enough to do some honeydew around and get all this stuff done. I got to mulch up my leaves a little bit out here on this big... Oh, this big little lot I've got out here in the country, my spread. We're at P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581, all the time. And go up to resist.com to get the information. College education, a Harvard education, all much better than a Cambridge education up there at resist.com. So you do that and you'll make me real happy. Yeah, we're right next to Terrible Tommy's Terrible Tavern and Steakhouse and Filling Station. And we're right next to the world-renowned Weapons of Mass Destruction Used Equipment Yard, where we're filling them up. We sold about everything into the 1st of November. Now we're closed for the winter, but we're refurbishing and bringing stuff in here from all over the place. We got some good supplies now coming out of the Middle East, yeah. So next spring, we'll be ready for that spring offensive. Of course, I try to be offensive all the time, and I keep telling you guys, if I don't offend you on one show, tune in again, and I'll probably offend the hell out of you on the next show. That's just the nature of the... That's my nature. I can't believe it. It's the 30th already of November, so... If you haven't done it so far, if you haven't done that great thing you promised yourself you're going to do, you better do it pretty quick because you only have a few hours left in November of 2015, and that'll be the end. There'll never be another 30th 2015. No, it's never going to happen again. So get at it. You notice we opened up with the insurgent. Well, we're using white Aryan resistance, but we got a lot of these openers with insurgent. And insurgent's fine, too, because I want you all to be insurgents. Yeah. Take that to the bank. Well, I see Trump's been tramping around again. Republican presidential front runner Donald Trumpy, the billionaire who knows your pain, has canceled a public event set for today where he had planned to announce endorsements from black pastors after a group of African-American academics and clergy members urged them to reconsider, citing Trump's racially inaccurate rhetoric. Wow. Yeah, negrophilia in high gear. Trump sent out word to the media outlets last week that he would hold an early afternoon news conference Monday to announce the endorsement of his campaign by 100 African-American evangelical pastors and religious leaders after a private meeting, unquote. He did not reveal the names of the people he expected to meet. On Sunday, he tweeted, "We'll be meeting on Monday at Trump Tower with a large group of African-American pastors. Many I know are wonderful people, and they're all into negrophilia. Not a press event," unquote. This open letter published on the website Ebony Magazine, 114 academics and church leaders warned the pastors that the meeting with Trump would be a mistake. "We're concerned that your choice to meet Mr. Trump, particularly in such a visible way, will not only de-radicalize the black prophetic political tradition, whatever that is, but will also give Trump the appearance of legitimacy, among those who follow your leadership and respect your position as clergy, unquote. There you go. I guess the meeting's not going to happen. He's insensitive to those black boys. Yeah, you got to be more sensitive there, Mr. Trumpite. Hire a few more at slave labor wages to build your buildings. That's what you need. Well, I see this, I'm going to say, whack job killed three people at a Planned Parenthood office out west in Colorado. Boy, a lot of, must be in the, you know, they used to advertise Olympia beer, wasn't it? No, Coors beer. It's in the water. Well, the way things have been going out there with all the shootings and stuff, I think it's something in the water. Well, my position's very simple. Now that there's so many non-whites in the country, and there's a lot more percentage per capita of non-whites getting abortions, I can't oppose abortion. Of course, in fact, I think a woman can decide to get abortion if she doesn't want to be a mother. It's unfair to the baby to be forced to have a mother that doesn't want the baby, you know? So, there's a lot of hangover in this racial struggle from that conservative stuff. But I think it's a side issue now because if white people are going to get abortions, they're going to get abortions. And the percentage is going up all the time of non-blacks getting abortions. So why should I oppose that? On the other hand, too, you know, our hero, what was her name? Anyhow, that started Planned Parenthood way back, and she was one of our heroes. One of our heroes, and she's being condemned all over the place by the right wing, too. So that's an interesting situation. But her concept was to limit the birth rate, which I agree, for the most part, especially now. This place is filling up with people from all over the world. Margaret Sanger, that's who it was. And she was for relieving the drudgery of white women, white mothers that were being forced by husbands to have big families. Now, you're going to say, you're a fine one to talk. You had six kids. Yeah, that's true in a way, but I ain't giving them on back, I'll tell you that. Now they're all arguing about the difference between terrorism and a hate crime. Why don't we just go back to the beginning? Murder's murder, and like that. I mean, you know, trying to get off into the weeds with all these labels is ridiculous. Let's see here. Unfortunately, this is a revision of a post following the shooting in Charleston. Dylan Roof has since been charged with a hate crime, not terrorism. Oh, I see. So, a hate crime is not terrorism. Death is death, as far as I'm concerned. We should expect the same for Robert Louis Deere, who killed three people and left nine wounded in his attack Friday. I think this is one of these militia kind of guys, to be perfectly honest. In our everyday language, what's the difference between these two terms, between a hate crime and terrorism, is one of degree, not kind. A shooting of 12 people, three of whom died, seems too big a label for normal crime. It seems like it must be terrorism. Now they're splitting the atom here, and everybody's going down a different road. Legally, however, hate crimes and terrorism differ in their intent. There can be small acts of terrorism, like throwing a cherry bomb at a speeding automobile, I guess, and large heinous acts that are hate crimes. Oh, you know why hate crimes is more important? Because the Jews push the hate crimes thing. The Jews helped write all the legislation and everything else. So since it was brought into being by the Jews, with the whites following dutifully behind like a dog. That's what they want to be the most important thing. I wonder why they don't call anything violent a hate crime. I've had hate crimes against me. A lot of the guys in this struggle have had hate crimes against them. But they'd never be prosecuted as being hate crimes. Never. I mean, when they blew up Butler's church up in Idaho, I don't even remember them calling it anything. They never found the people. You know, they can find a 99-year-old Nazi hiding in the jungle, but they can't find some weirdos that blew up Butler's church. They didn't try. That's the reason they never found out who did it. Wouldn't have been that hard trouble. I had a pretty good clue on who did it myself. And I gave the information to Butler, too, but I don't think they ever followed up on it. So if they don't follow up on it, it was their church. What can I do about it? I gave you the clue again. It was university students from over there in Seattle. And they were riding motorbikes when they went up to the church and blew it up. That's as much as I can give you right now. Nobody cares anyhow. The term hate crime, it says here, is somewhat of a misnomer. Many crimes are driven by hate. Well, what level of hate? Big hate, little hate, middle hate? A better term is a bias crime. That's coming from the English. They use that bias crime stuff. The distinguishing feature of a hate crime or bias crime is that the act is based upon the perpetrator's bias against a race, religion, or other group. Well, shooting up an abortion mill, I don't think quite fits that, because there's all kinds of different races who go into abortion mills, and all kinds of different religions go into abortion mills. Or other group, maybe that would cover it. I don't know. Let's just say a guy went nuts and shot up the place. It's a crime. Just say it's a crime, according to statute. Why get all mixed up in labels? Well, you know why. That's the Jew way. A hate crime deprives someone of their life, liberty, or property based on who they are. Well, everybody's somebody, so, and it often has the intent of intimidating others who look, act, or believe like the victim. Terrorism is different, this clown says. Just a minute here. I gotta get this over here a bit. I can't do that. Wait a minute. Oh, crap. Quit jumping around there on my screen, damn it. I don't know what the hell causes that. You move the damn thing on your screen and then it jumps back on you. I'm going to stop this a minute and see if I can straighten that out. I had this problem before. This was this new operating system. Okay, terrorism is different. We often use... What the hell's going on now? Hey, Hank Snow! I pressed the wrong damn button again. God damn. I got two keyboards in front of me, and if I don't watch it, I'll put my fist down to rest my arm right on the other keyboard, and it turns on the other computer. I'm getting started on a great Monday here, I'll tell you that. Okay, here we go. Terrorism is different. We often use terrorism to describe horrendous acts of violence that are committed on a larger scale than other crimes. But this isn't the legal definition. Oh, okay. Terrorism is defined as a political crime against the government or the population. It has a political goal, like getting Trump elected. It could be an attack on the government, as with the Oklahoma City bombing. Yeah, that was an attack on the government, for sure. I'm glad you understand that. In Boston Marathon bombing, it was an act against the population. But simply, terrorism is an act against America. Boy. But a hate crime targets victims because of their race, gender, or other immutable characteristics. They're going to keep making this more and more complicated. You wait and see. It's a joke. And if you saw the guy that wrote this article, his nomer, you'd say, oh yeah, you're a whack job. Well, I bet you didn't know this. I did. But maybe you did too. Marilyn Monroe prized her menorah, and Elizabeth Taylor's Hebrew name was Elisheba Rachel. Wait, America's most iconic bomb, blonde bombshell, and the star of the National Velvet were Jewish? Seriously Jewish. Both stars made their heartfelt convergence to Judaism in the 1950s. And not just because they married Jewish men, but it helped. A new exhibit at the Jewish Museum in New York maintains and makes it clear. How about that? Collecting letters from their rabbis, images from their Jewish weddings, and a rarely heard audio recording of Taylor's conversion ceremony, quote, becoming Jewish, documents the relatively quiet way in which Monroe and Taylor adopted the faith. And what that said about the America that loved them. Yeah. These were women who were so exposed to the world, everyone was fascinated by them, said Joanna Montoya Rottobottom, who curated the exhibit. Quote, this is a part of their lives they kept to themselves. Well, of course, they make a lot of money by that. Boy, Monroe, whose foster parents espoused fundamentalist Christianity, Christ insanity, she did not admire, converted to Judaism in 56 before her June marriage to playwright Arthur Miller. He was a homely son of a bitch, too. She studied with Miller's rabbi, Robert Goldberg, who presided at her conversion and at the couple's marriage. In a letter about Monroe written after her death, a centerpiece of the exhibit, Goldberg recalled their pre-conversion study lesson sessions. She indicated that she was impressed with the rationalism of Judaism. Its ethical and prophetic ideals and its concept of close family life. That's the only people who have anything to do with them, wrote the Reform rabbi. Reform rabbi? They're not even respected by the Orthodox. She should have become an Orthodox Jew. Marilyn was not an intellectual person. You can say that again, but she was sincere in her desire to learn. Oh, yeah. Miller taught her things, and then President Kennedy taught her things, and then she was really going after Bobby, but she never got Bobby. Or Bobby never got her, I guess. She was the queen harlot of the Jews in Hollywood, I guess. But that's all right. Okay. Marilyn was not an intellectual person, but she was sincere in her desire to learn, and it was also clear that her ability to concentrate over a long period of time was limited. Well, she tried to read through the Talmud, to all 25 volumes. She only made it to page 3 of the first chapter, the one that says you can do anything to a little kid, I guess. However, I did feel that she understood and accepted the basic principles of Judaism. Yeah, make lots of fucking money. That's why you hook up with powerful men and make lots of money. Monroe, whose mother's severe mental illness, there you go, runs in a family, made for a rocky childhood, and gravitated towards Arthur Miller's Jewish family because he was nuts too. She looked toward Judaism as a way to embrace family. Yeah, the mob. And to finally have a strong family, which she didn't necessarily have growing up. You know, by the time these Jews in Hollywood get done with these good-looking Aryan chicks from the back home, they're so screwed up they don't know what they're doing. They turn them into sex, drugs, and rock and roll, baby. Anyhow, it's a long article, but you get the message. You get the picture, right? You probably had the picture before I even gave you the picture. Headlines, God is peace. Oh, yeah? He never told me that. In fact, your whole Bible says he's not a man, not a God of peace. He's a God of war. Pope wraps Africa trip with a message to Christians and Muslims. Let me give you my projections, boys and girls. The Christian church sees the writing on the wall with the Muslim religion, and they're going to try to gradually incorporate it. You wait and see. Wait and see. There's going to be some funny things happening in the future between the Muslims, the Muslim hierarchy, and the Christian hierarchy. Sort of like if you can't beat them, sort of join them. One thing about this Islamic State, what sort of gives them away, is the brutality they use against their own people. And so alleged head chopping off and the way they treat them when they take over and all of that kind of stuff. Reading something the other day, they said that most of these Islamic State people don't even know the Muslim religion. And they get it all screwed up. They don't even speak the language very well. They talk about the heathens. These guys are worse than the so-called heathens. The Islamic State has claimed responsibility for an attack on a Shiite Muslim mosque in Bangladesh on Thursday, killing a cleric, wounding three other people. The second attack on the country's tiny Shiite Muslim community in a month. Muhammad said, love each other. If they don't love you, kill them. Attackers entered the mosque, or what we would call a church, and opened fire on the devotees after locking the main gate and then fled immediately after the shooting, police official Assam Habib said. You see, if you're trying to make friends and influence people, this is not the way you do it. This is obviously put together by the United States military-industrial complex with a ticket to do whatever they want to do and do it all the time and often.
This was the second attack on Bangladesh's Shia Muslims in a month. Witnesses said three gunmen burst into this mosque in Bogra and unleashed a hail of bullets as worshippers were praying. At least one person's been killed, three more were wounded. It's the latest incident in a wave of attacks in Muslim-majority Bangladesh, which has seen a surge in Islamist violence. Two foreigners, four secular writers, and a publisher have been killed this year. An Italian doctor working as a missionary has been wounded, and several Christian priests have received death threats. In October, a bomb at a Shiite shrine in Dakar killed one person and wounded dozens. The government's dismissing Islamic State's claim of responsibility for that and other attacks, blaming instead the homegrown militant Jamaat al-Mujahideen group. Critics say the government's whipping up a climate of fear to go after its political rivals.
It would seem to me there's a good reason for some fear. Wait a minute, my microphone. Seems to me there's a good reason for some fear around, man. Come on, Mike, God damn it. There. I got to get a proper... I broke the mic stand on this mic about a year ago, and I've been stuffing it into a coffee cup, and it moves around. I know what I got to do. Just a minute. Well, I sure took care of that with my high degree of expertise. I shoved an old sock in a damn cup, and that solved my problem. But don't tell anybody, because this is a first-class high professional outfit down here in the bunker, and don't ever let anybody tell you different. You know, I thought those guys were going to attack the United States. They keep talking about attacking the United States, but they're blowing the shit out of their own colored people all over there, man. I wonder what that's all about. When already? They're going to go after Washington or Wall Street or Pentagon. Well, they'll have two or three guys in a pickup with AR-15s. That ought to take care of it. Oh, it's all bullshit, boys. It's all bullshit. Don't worry. Once Trump gets in here, that'll be solved in about a week. Yeah. Trump's got enough money, he could adopt every Muslim on the face of the earth and ship them out to Mars. How about that? Please, whatever you do, Donald, send the Christians and the Jews too, and then we can get some peace around here. Here's something I've been telling you about a little bit. The Man in the High Tower, which is a film that is on Amazon now. And you know, you can get Amazon free for a month. 30-day sign up, and you probably can watch the movie and then dump it if you want. But let me tell you something. Last night, there's about 15 episodes of about 45 minutes apiece. It's really good stuff. It's really good stuff. And the video and all that's done so very well. The swastika is everywhere. And what was I going to say about that? Oh, yeah, the thrill of my lifetime was they have an international Nazi airport. And guess what the name of the airport is? You'll never guess. George Lincoln Rockwell International Airport. I kid you not. I'm telling you, this kind of movie can start things acting up one way or another. You never know what this is going to spawn, because a lot of people are going to hate it, and a lot of people are going to love it. The Man in the High Tower. About time George Lincoln Rockwell gets some recognition. He sure don't get any from the right wing in this country, the so-called Hollywood Nazis. The minute George Lincoln Rockwell was assassinated, the right wing went into high motion to get rid of his name. Don't talk about him. Don't anything about him. I've got all the tapes. Some of you may have heard them. Of Rockwell's own voice telling how the right wing was trying to do him in all over the country, calling him a CIA agent, an ADL agent, and everything else in the book. Yeah, if you don't believe it, ask some of these bastards and leaders of the right wing about how what they really said about George Lincoln Rockwell after he was assassinated and before he was assassinated. And he had to sue Edward Fields, take him to court, and George Lincoln Rockwell won the case. Yeah, so anyhow, every once in a while I see somebody saying something about George Lincoln Rockwell, but just like Bob Robert, or just like all the other martyrs in this cause, they want to forget about them. These right-wing leaders, that were so-called racial leaders, they want to forget about them very quickly. And if you're waylaid by the Jews and you sit there in prison like Richard Scutari, 30 years, he's now 68 years old, and they want to keep him in there another 10, how many of you people out there are communicating with him or sending him some money or something, for Christ's sake? It's unbelievable. Any so-called movement that don't pick up its wounded is no movement at all. Well, it says here the religious right may be yesterday's news, but it signals accomplishment. The white evangelical voting bloc, non-racial, other than subconsciously, remains the Republican Party's most important constituency, and it's moving towards Ted Cruz. Any white person with any balls or any feeling for the race should not have anything to do with the Republican Party. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Democrats are right out in the open about what they're into. The Republicans are lying bastards of the worst kind, all of them. And we should stay away and encourage no one to vote for the Republican Party. It's the party of the ruling class, and they don't give a shit about the white working class. Boy, this Cruz is playing the Christian insanity people like a violin. He's gone at every church he can get into. And I haven't heard him say anything about the white race at all, have you? And you're not going to. In fact, you're not going to hear any of them saying anything about the white race in a positive manner. They may say we're a bunch of sons of bitches and wish they had not been born white, but that's about as far as they'll go. Here's a little comment one of our friends sent along. So these people vote, right? So who do they elect? President of the U.S.? This type of first-grade education at the college level for Americans is no accident at all. It is planned by the ruling elite political class. They need dumb-as-hell people to rule over in order to carry out their agenda. Do not condemn the baseness of the students, but rather the elites who made them that way. My point is this: give them an education like our grandfathers had before the federal control of public education, or send them to Russia to be educated, as Max Alex was, and you would have a completely different result. And answers to the questions. Public schools in the U.S. produce public fools in the U.S. Simply education with predominantly predetermined results by those who run the system of education for the benefit not of students, but the rulers. Yeah, right. I agree with that, by God. You could close every school in the country down today and the white race would be in better shape. Go back to square one, said Mother Nature. Yeah. Oh, this is hot off the press. Russia bans two Soros foundations from disbursing grants in Russia. Added to list of undesirable organizations, the foundations are accused of posing a threat to Russian national security. Hey, somebody slapping Soros down a little bit. How about that? Mr. Putin, what you up to? Are you sending us a message? Yeah, the financier George Soros finances the Open Society Foundation and the Open Society Institutes Assistance Foundation. You know what that means? Going to get in there and worm his way into Russia, both of which figured on a list of 12 organizations sent to the Russian prosecutor. Arrest his ass, man. Putin, arrest that man's ass. Now, Soros supporters, now get this, don't be shocked. Supporters say such organizations provide crucial funding for human rights and civil society organizations that Russian donors would not risk supporting, and blast the laws on which the ban is based as a sign of an increasing government crackdown and paranoia. Yeah, well, the Ruskies know what's going on. All those groups are a cover for almost anything to cause problems in Russia. Russia's parliament passed the law on undesirable organizations in May. Yeah. And 2 months later, the upper house sent the prosecutor's office a list of 12 international organizations it wanted to see added to the list, including the two Soros foundations. At the time, parliamentarian Konstantin Kosachev said the organizations on the list criticize Russia at any chance and are trying to gain external control over the situation in our country and over our people. There you go. That's good. Comrade, we not leave those people in here. Get them people out there. Send them to United States. They love these people. They love Soros. Soros, wonderful person in the U.S. In fact, the stupid white people worship this man as a god. Well, let's see if we can get a little bit more common sense out of this Middle Eastern thing from a source that is more dependable. Quote, the bloody terrorist attacks in Paris had their genesis not only in the poor Muslim suburbs of France and Belgium and on the battlefields of Syria, but also in NATO's operation to overthrow Muammar Gaddafi in 2011. The Libyan strongman, or president, gave the West fair warning at the time that his ouster would give an enormous boost to radical jihadists. Because no one in power listened, Thousands of people have died in Libya, Syria, Iraq, Mali, and now France. Yeah. Among the many extremist groups running wild in Libya today is the Islamic State, also known as ISIS, ISIL, or Daesh, headquartered in the city of Sirte, the late Colonel Gaddafi's hometown on the central Mediterranean coast. What an insult that is. The ISIS colony now hosts as many as 3,000 foreign fighters who enforce their iron rule over a 150-mile stretch of the country's coast. ISIS also has a strong presence in northeastern Libya around the towns of Derna and Benghazi. Since Gaddafi's fall in 2011, Libya has exported thousands of its own extremists to support jihad in other countries. In Syria, one group of Libyan supporters of ISIS went by the name of Kadabat al-Batar al-Libi. One of the leaders was none other than Abdul Hamadi Aboud, the suspected organizer of the recent Paris attacks. His connection to those Libyan fighters in Syria was first established back in January before the killings in Paris by the Belgian researcher Pieter van Oosthuizen. On January 15th, Belgian police killed two members of the radical organization in the town of Verviers, where they were said to be planning a major terrorist attack. After the foiled attacks in the Verviers in Belgium, van Oosthuizen wrote, it became clear that the main suspect, Abdul Hamid Aboud, can be linked directly to this group. His little brother, Jones, age 14, and hence probably the youngest foreign fighter in Syria, has been portrayed multiple times in the ranks of the Libyan fighters in Syria. Photos posted on van Oosthuizen's blog show grinning, bearded Belgian fighters posed for group portraits in Syria, as if on holiday. He recently observed that many Belgian jihadists were attracted to Kalabat al-Batar because they immigrated from eastern Morocco, where they speak a direct, similar dialect, similar to the Libya. Last year, Washington researcher Ayman Jawad al-Tamani called the group the Libyan Division of the Islamic State of Iraq. He added, Libya itself has been a big source of mujahideen in both Iraq and Syria over the past decade. So the fact that there is a battalion devoted to recruiting Libyan fighters should come as no surprise. The existence of Kalabat al-Batar al-Libi as a front group for ISIS perhaps reflects the wider pro-ISIS trend across Central North Africa. Oh, isn't the military-industrial complex wonderful? Don't we just harken back to the good old days of that son of a bitch George Bush and Cheney, the ones who started this mess? A subsequent report by two members of the Kearney Endowment for International Peace commented on the role of Libyan jihadists who returned home from Syria to commit atrocities on behalf of ISIS, including car bombings, attacks on hotels and embassies, and a brutal slaughter of Egyptian cops. The analyst traced much of the violence to veterans of the Kalabat al-Batar who were active in Derna and Benghazi. Libyans had already begun traveling to fight in Syria in 2011, joining existing jihadist factions, or starting their own in 2012. One group of Libyans in Syria declared the establishment of the Bitar Brigade in a statement laden with anti-Shia sectarianism. The Bitar Brigade founders also thanked the citizens of Derna, a city of northeastern Libya, long known for its hotbed of radical Islamism, for their support of the struggle in Syria. Well, this goes on and on and on ad nauseum, but same old shit that they got our tit in the ringer and they're going to keep it in there. Not the Islamists. I mean, when are you going to learn that when you stick a goddamn stick in a hornet's nest, their hornets are going to come out after you? Leave those people to fight their own battles. Leave it there. I'm sure there's enough anti-ISIL people that they could exterminate those ISIL people real fast. They're going to have Arab boots on the ground, maybe Kurds and like that. Forget about the goddamn airplanes. They're doing more harm than good. One thing for sure, these pricks in London and Washington and in Berlin don't know what the fuck they're doing. Well, what's going on now is pretty crappy, but let's go back to the good old days. It's always been killing, killing, killing. 1626 A.D., 70,000 die in Naples earthquake. Naples, Italy, and some 30 villages in the surrounding countryside lay in ruins on July 30th after a deadly earthquake that killed tens of thousands struck the region. A little rumble every couple of centuries keeps the Neapolitans on their toes. Well, I'll tell you one thing. Even if they were having major earthquakes in the Middle East, these sons of bitches would be shooting at each other. Believe me. In the minute the earth stopped shaking, they'd be killing each other. 1628, the short voyage of the Vasa. The 60-gun Vasa, the newly constructed flagship of the Swedish Navy, sank on her maiden voyage, killing 50 of the 400-man crew. 60 guns. Gee. That was way back. Incredibly, the ship went under even before clearing Stockholm Harbor after water poured in through the gun ports left open on the Vasa's port side. So I guess they made a little mistake back then, too. 1629, wreck of the Batavia. After being shipwrecked on an island off Australia, 316 passengers aboard the Dutch merchant ship Batavia found their troubles had just begun. Before the rescuers arrived, some 100 of the survivors were murdered by the mutineers who had been stranded on the island. This was just for fun and pleasure. They didn't eat anyone. 1631, eruption of Mount Vesuvius. Some 4,000 people were killed after Mount Vesuvius, south of Rome, erupted on December 16th. The volcano spewed huge amounts of ash, while 7 fast-moving lava streams poured down from its mouth, destroying 6 towns in their path. Mighty Vesuvius strikes again. 1638, Indonesian volcano explodes, located on the island of Timor, in the modern-day Indonesia. See, that's where they had that civil war over there that on the left and the right were fighting over. The 10,500-foot volcano peak blew itself apart in a cataclysmic eruption, killing hundreds of people in the area. I don't even count it unless it's thousands of people. 1638, Shimabara Rebellion. Here, this sounds like a good one. In the early 17th century, Japan's feudal government actively opposed the spread of Christianity. Well, I agree with them. They should never let Christianity into Japan, period! To test for Christians, they forced those they suspected to tread upon bronze plaques bearing the images of Christ or other Christian figures. If the suspects refused, they were presumed to be Christians and were subjected to horrible tortures until they recanted their faith. I don't think I'd trust them. I think I'd put them on a ship and ship them out. Those who refused to recant were beheaded. Ooh, the beheading thing again. Peasants of the Shimabara Peninsula finally revolted against the harsh treatment in the spring of 1638, and some 20,000 peasants seized an abandoned castle. There you go. The religion gets pretty deep with the poor people because they think they got no other choice. There's always another choice. Local noblemen mobilized an army of 100,000 men to attack the rebels. For weeks, the drastically outnumbered peasants held out in the bloody fighting, killing some 10,000 of their enemy, but When government troops finally captured the castle, they massacred the surviving defenders. It is said that only about 100 of the 20,000 or more rebels escaped alive. The rebellion increased Japan's hostility towards Christianity. I don't blame him, and led to an exclusion of all foreigners from Japan in 1639. Good move. Yet another bunch of revolting, downtrodden peasants. That's one case where I wouldn't support the peasants. 1642, 300,000 die in the China flood. Rebels battling the Ming Dynasty rulers deliberately broke river dikes at the city of Kaifeng in China's Hunan province in 1642, flooding the city and surrounding plains. Hundreds of thousands died as a result. That hardly seems like fair play. 1645, explosion rocks Boston. Almost one-third of the Massachusetts Bay Colony of Boston was destroyed following an explosion of gunpowder being stored there. Oh, Jesus. Three people were killed. That's as bad as all this poison chemical weapons that are buried all over the United States. You know, how about all that World War II chemical weapons that were sunk in the Sound up there off Seattle? It's down there at the bottom, and it's sooner or later going to break loose from those containers. But nobody listens. I don't think they've retrieved any of it. 1656, collision of Spanish galleons kills 644. The galleon Nuestra Senora de las Maravillas sank after colliding with a second galleon while maneuvering at night off of the Bahamas. Of the 700 passengers aboard, only 56 were rescued. The ship was carrying inestimable treasure when it sank. So there you go, boys. Get your wetsuits on and go down there and get that money, man. Well, that's it for today. I could read that stuff all day long because I like that pessimist stuff. That's the way nature works and the way the animal of nature works. They're not happy unless they're killing each other. And nature's not happy unless it's killing us. More blood in the gutter than me without a spoon, Mom. Well, now I'm going to get to the important news, the most important news of the day. How about that? The KKK. You think politics makes strange bedfellows? Try adopting a highway. The theme of The Odd Couple while you read this next sentence. The American Civil Liberties Union is defending the Ku Klux Klan's group First Amendment rights. Because it's a meaningless situation, obviously. They'll always do that. But the ACLU will never jump in on a significant case involving the racial subject. The International Keystone Knights of the Ku Klux Klan. God, they get longer titles all the time. Applied in 2012 to participate in Georgia's Clean Up the Nigger Trash on the Highway program, in which volunteers team up to remove litter from the side of the road. The group adopts a stretch of road promising to regularly clean the right-of-way. As the niggers go by in their Escalades, throwing beer cans at them. Oh, God. Nathan Bedford Forrest, where are you now that we need you? The Georgia Department of Transportation denied the Klan's application. That's because that particular part of the government has got a nigger at the head. I'll bet you anything. I'll bet you any amount of money that the head of the Department of Transportation in Georgia is a nigger. The Klan objected, or a stupid fundamentalist Christian. The Klan objected, lawyers got involved, and a couple of weeks ago the case got kicked to the Georgia Supreme Court. Boy, this is going to cost a lot of money. The major sticking point here seems to be the sign. Duh. The group that adopts roads often gets signs posted on their section of the road that announce their cleanup volunteers. I'm sure you've seen them. Well, I haven't seen any here in Indiana, and I hope I don't. The Georgia DOT said in its rejection letter that the impact of erecting a sign naming an organization which has a long-rooted history of civil disturbance would cause a significant public concern. Yeah, you can't have an organization that was founded in protecting white people. Are you kidding? Impacts include safety of the traveling public, potential social unrest, meaning niggers go crazy. They'll be throwing, they'll be tripling their amount of shit they throw out the windows of the cars just to bug the Klan. Or they wait till they see a Klan's guys along the highway picking up the trash. They got these diapers full of nigger shit to throw at them. The World War III will start over signs on who's picking up the garbage. Driver's distraction or interference with the flow of traffic. All these things could be a big problem. That's why we're doing this, because it's just a good thing to do. But the ACLU says denying the application infringes on the Klan's right to free speech. You can't turn the application down if you don't like the sign. Well, wait a minute. They turned down my sign because they didn't like what it said. Also, item number one on the Georgia Department DOT's conditional participation in the program says any organization, business, individual, family, city, county, state, or federal agency is welcome to apply for participation in the Georgia Adopt a Highway program. In fact, ISIS just applied and they're granting them a permit. The word any provides a loophole big enough to drive a truck through on an Adopt a Highway. And there's lots of trash to be picked up. So let the KKK adopt a highway. Now, hear me out, okay? I think he's going to use the same logic I use. There is no law I could find requiring adoption sponsor sign to be a certain size. Oh, yeah, come here to Indiana and they got it. I'm sure traffic signals, signs, and warning signs have to be a minimum size for safety reasons. But I didn't see anything in the state Adopt-a-Highway guidelines where the Georgia Department of Transportation promised motorists it would be able to read a naming sign while zipping down a road. The sizes of these signs vary from state to state. So make the Klan sign about the size of a matchbook cover and make the words as big as the In God We Trust motto on a penny. If the signpost doesn't have to be a certain size either, a toothpick could do the trick. Yeah, but that you couldn't do that because that would be unequal to everybody else's sign. We got to have a regular, real communism going here. To borrow a phrase from the comedian Bill Engvall, I just bought a CD of his in a used store. Funny as hell. Here's your sign. Now, I know what you're thinking. If you give them an itty-bitty sign, they'll probably take to the roadsides all decked out in their Klan or paraphernalia, picking up trash while wearing an ankle-length robe and pointed hood sounds impractical from a manual labor standpoint. But it could happen, right? Wrong. The GDOT has a dress code for volunteers, assuming everyone's dressed sensibly for outdoor work. According to the code, no words, slogans, or designs are allowed on any clothing or headwear. This whole fucking is so crazy. I can't believe it. This is the funniest thing I've ever read. So if there's no big sign that says KKK and no folks wearing clothes that say KKK, shouldn't that be, well, OKK? After all, Klan members apparently just want cleaner roads. They're not sniffing around for free state-funded publicity. Hollywood, that's Hollywood. Are they? Missouri discovered a very clever method of addressing this issue. Many years ago, a Nazi group, the Springfield unit of the National Socialist Movement, volunteered to adopt a stretch of highway. Missouri refused. The argument was snarled in court for years until the controversial group one on free speech grounds. So, Missouri displayed some free speech of its own. In 2009, the state named the contested portion of the highway after Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel. He fled Nazi Germany to America and became a prominent kike theologian and civil rights advocate. Boys and girls, this fucking country has gone totally crazy, man. It's gone crazy. In 2000, a Missouri chapter of the KKK wanted to adopt a portion of Interstate 55 near St. Louis that got tied up legally for years, and the Klan won, citing free speech. So the legislature said, okay, here's your portion of the road, the Rosa Parks Highway, named for the bitch who's helped ignite the start the bullshit in the civil rights movement. Incidentally, another woman actually did it before her. She wasn't the first to do that. But the whole insanity of segregation fell apart because you just can't do it that way. You got to have complete, total separation. I mean, geological. Hey, I'll take California. You can have Rhode Island, niggers, okay? That's what I call separation. And gosh, who wouldn't have guessed? Klan members all of a sudden decided they didn't want to clean up their highway because of this Negro woman. None of them ever reported for work. Well, they should have said Malcolm X. They could use Malcolm X. Yeah, he was separatist. He was. Until Farrakhan killed him. Should Georgia do that? Well, the road in question is a mile of Georgia Highway 515, already named the Zell Miller Mountain Parkway. Wasn't he one of those bastard Republicans, or he switched parties, didn't he? Oh, he's one of the few Georgia politicians that's not in jail. But there's an awful lot of pieces of wood you can rename. Anyway, the GDOT started the Adopt a Highway program to encourage civic-minded Georgians to keep their roadways cleaner. The program isn't and shouldn't be blindly obligated to provide no questions asked outdoor advertising to any participants. But you can have a 50-foot billboard hawking booze, broads, gambling, anything you want. You can do that. The corporations win every time. Now, here's some of the responses to that article. I think judges should sentence some folks to cleaning up specific highway. Well, they do that already. And name it the Thug Wannabe Shoplifters, Car Thief, Burglars, and Pot Smokers Highway. Don't be so nasty about pot, man. Okay, the Klan members, IMO, if they are smart and would not want to advertise themselves while working along a busy highway, just think how many might be picked off by some passing motorists who are offended. Yeah, that's for sure. There'll be a lot of bent over to pick up a tin can and get your ass shot off. Another brilliant idea from those who brought you the KKK, the modern KKK. God, the original KKK leaders would turn over in their grave. Here's another one. If they want to pick up trash, let them have at it. Do the Black Panthers sign into the trash pickup program? Maybe they could put the two groups on adjacent sectors. That would be funny. Okay. Here's another comment. We sure waste a lot of money over nonsense. Give them their day on the road and plenty of trash to pick up. It will get old real soon. I agree. I know I knew enough of these Klansmen to know that they're not going to last long picking up shit along the highway. Believe me, I know. They got to get home and drink a case of beer. Okay. The purpose of the program is cleaner highways. Let anyone who wants to clean up do it and be treated the same as any other group. Sounds like lolly liberal here. Instead of kill the cleaner uppers. I warn about the collateral damage. One of these snowflakes from one of our colleges who needs a safety zone for anything. I read about one who had to get psychological counseling because she had to sit next to a conservative at a seminar. Will go into shock when they see a sign about the KKK adopting the portion of the highway. That's what they're worried about. All these white liberals coming down the highway, going into shock and running off the road. The other thing that will happen is blacks will save all their trash to throw out. Oh, he finally got, there's a guy that got to the bottom of it. If I was a nigger, I'd get bags and bags and bags of shit and find their Klan section of the highway and throw it out there. Oh, that's funny. There'd be so much shit on the road they couldn't get the cars through. Oh, here's another one. Would this be an issue if the pigs in a blanket Black Lives Matter group wanted to adopt a highway? I imagine they would receive immediate approval from the Georgia DOT. Duh. Well, of course they would. That's a stupid question. But they're not going to do it. Are you kidding? Black Lives Matter. They want to demonstrate down at City Hall and get some money. They want. They're not going to clean up the highway. Are you kidding? Who do you think dirtied up the highway in the first place? The law says any. There is a reason we have free speech. Somebody will disapprove of almost any group that signs up. How about the Jewish Defense League? I have never seen them apply to clean up a highway. Have you? What's that all about? Or the ADL? Uh-huh. Remember, all of you posted that repeatedly the other day when I believe it was Spexa brought up the group, post after post. I don't know what he's talking about. Okay. Here's another guy brought up an interesting point. Hopefully there isn't many members to clean up the road. Well, I think he might take the whole national organization to clean up a quarter of a mile of the road. Sorry I'm so hard on you, Hollywood Klansmen. If you didn't act like Hollywood Klansmen and do stupid stuff and get in line and get shoulder to shoulder with what's really happening, I wouldn't be this mean to you. Picture this scene. 10 outfitted KKK members willing to get out in broad daylight along a highway traveled by Black Lives Matter. Now the picture reverse. BLM with the KKK driving by. Neither would be considered acceptable with me. But the truth be told, the Klan members are so diminished that it would hardly find 100 in the whole state of Georgia. Maybe in the whole country. Note, even the Klan Watch and Wiki only estimate 5,000 nationwide. And believe me, there's not 5,000 nationwide. With the biggest KKK groups no longer in the South, but the North. Well, they always were more plentiful in the North. Read the book, The KKK in the City. You'll learn that the Klan was always, you know, after Reconstruction, the Klan was much stronger all over the North and the West. Remember, it was Oregon where a nigger couldn't even get into the state until the 40s, legally. Not like the estimated 5.2 million in the 1930s. The KKK, well, that Klan was more like a Masonic lodge thing, you know. People used to join the Klan of the 20s just to be with their buddies and get out one night a week and get away from their wives. The KKK is now nothing but a bogeyman story. Well, that's true. You got that right. And the old folks scare the kids with, besides, there has not been Klan organizing lynching in Georgia since 1946. Yeah. If you want to be somebody, you got to lynch a nigger. That's going to change the whole military-industrial complex. Maybe I'm missing something here. If I read this correctly, anyone is allowed to apply, but it does not guarantee acceptance, which begs the question, well, for me anyhow, how many groups apply but are turned down? Don't get serious on me, buddy. This is a comedy program. since it's just a move to stir up more controversy. No, the Klan wouldn't do that. What's the matter with you? They're good Christian boys. They believe in following the edicts of the mystical Jesus. Quickly approve them and rename their section of the highway at the same time. They could pick up trash without starting a controversy. Let the trash pick up trash. Well, of course they don't. Of course it's to stir up controversy. Are you a numbskull or something? Give them boys a break. They ain't going out there and give up those rallies and beer drinking sessions for nothing. But I want to tell you, when I was in the Klan for 5 years, we put out tons of literature, rolled newspapers for days, and then filled trucks full of them and went out and put them all over. I don't think we got over 10 recruits out of that deal. Now, if you'd have gone around to the bars, the beer bars, and dropped off Klan papers, there's where you could get your members. No problem. Well, I'm having so much fun, I almost forgot to stop the show. This is about it for Moonsday. The country is going more insane all the time, but I do believe we can get maybe ISIS to come down there and adopt a highway in all these states. I think they'd love that, don't you? Let's get in touch with ISIS. Say, we want you to clean up the highways.
Cheer up, boys. You know what they say. Some things in life are bad. They can really make you mad. Other things just make you swear and curse. When you're chewing on last gristle, don't grumble, give a whistle. And this'll help things turn out for the best. Aim. Always look on the bright side of life.
I want to pick up nigga trash, come on.
Always look on the light side of life.
Give me that bag. I'm going down to pick up nigga trash.
There's something you forgot, and that's to laugh and smile and dance and sing. When you're feeling in the dark.
You only want to pick up silly stuff, huh? Okay.
Just burst your lips and whistle, that's the thing. And always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the bright side of life.
I got a bag of dirty rubbers here. How about that?
For life is quite absurd, and death's the final word. You must always face the curtain with a bow. Forget about your scene. Give the audience a grin. Enjoy
it,
it's your
life,
chance and
hell.
So always look on the bright side of death.
That's what I found at the border, take a baby.
Just before you draw your terminal breath. Life's a piece of shit when you look at it. Life's a laugh and death's a joke, it's true. You'll see it's all a show. Keep on laughing as you go. Just remember that the last half is on you. And always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the bright side of life.
I'm trying to hear that.
Always look on the bright side of life.
Praying. How many nigger babies, aborted nigger babies, have you picked up today? Well, I say, I've got a whole bag full right here. Okay, where do we turn them in?